Well, hello to everybody. We're going to deal with some of the things about angels. We're going to talk about angels. Angels are what God and the Holy Spirit felt like it was necessary to discuss. Not everything that goes through us, that we pass by or look at a little bit, do we just grab a hold to it? But let me tell you something. This is not phony. Angels were real. And God, all through the scriptures, you can find angelic footprints, basically, through there. Now, I don't know how many times you've sat down and just read the whole Bible in one shot. I mean, start here this morning and finish up late tonight, and you can do that. The Psalms are one of the things that are powerful about angels. The angels are often within the Psalms. You'll be reading something about the Psalms. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. That's big because it's telling us something that we may not know. People want to pray to angels. Now, let me help you. If the angel hears you say that, that angel is going to knock you over. You're not going to put up with that. These angels are not mean. They are not lazy. They are powerful entities. And all through the scriptures, you're going to be finding angels all the way through the scriptures. That's not because somebody who got a hold to a Bible and said, I tell you what, we ought to be putting some stuff in here for ourselves. God will smite you for that. You don't add to or take away from that which God governs. Yes or no? So this is real stuff. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers him. What does that say to you? If He surrounds him and delivers him, is that angel on your side or on Satan's side? Angels are powerful, powerful entities. Angels have the power to disrupt things if it needs disrupting. He has the power, and I'm not sure if the angel is he or she, and I really don't care because I know it's an entity from God. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers Him. That's big because you got things going on in the world and all of that's there. But it also gives you something for yourself. How would you like to know when you've been studying this stuff about angels and all of a sudden you read something one of these angels says and you say, you know what? Boy, if I just hung on for what this angel said, I know the angels got it from God to say. And so the angels are dispersing the goodness of God and all of that that might need be done. Psalm 35:5-6, may they be like the chaff before the wind and the angel of the Lord driving them away. This is about the evil trying to come in and get in. The angels are working every hour of every day to bring goodness to all God has built and all God has done. These angels can go bad. There are bad angels. But you would expect that, wouldn't you? Well, not the first day. That's all right. You got it. There's bad angels. What we'll come to know is that God knows how to deal with angels that left their position. How many of you got a whooping? When you get a whooping, you know you had one. If you get a spatting, that's a spatting. That ain't nothing. The angels are all around us. They are everywhere. They can be seen or they can not be seen, but they are there. God is in the process with all of that stuff, with angelology. And Psalm 91, "For I will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Does that sound to you that God is doing something to help whoever you is right here? Can God come in here as an angel and you not see it? Angels sometimes are not seen. I was talking to some people in another time zone, and we were talking about angels. And this guy was saying, "Yeah, I'm going to get me several angels." In Psalm 91, "I'll command my angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And in Psalm 104, "Praise the Lord." Look at how it just switches and changes. "Praise the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You're clothed in splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as a garment. He stretches out the heavens like the tent, and he lays beams of his upper chambers on the waters. He makes the waters." He makes the waters. "He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. And he makes the wind his messengers, flames of fire his servants." That sounds to me like if you're talking about an angel, you're talking about a pretty powerful entity. These angels, looking back in history with angelology, there were many, many, many angels that took down the unrighteous in the world so that righteousness would come back. These angels are powerful, powerful people. I'm going to say people, you make it what you want. It sounds to me like the angels are always moving. They're always doing something to hold righteousness up higher among the people. And the angels would sometimes come in and do a little swatting themselves. But most of the time it was brought to and then done. One thing about the angels, and that is that the angels were devoted to their worship. We see worship sometimes a bit different. You get in the car this morning and your neighbor says, "Where are you going, neighbor?" You say, "Well, we're going to worship." Would people do that? That's not the way God had this thing to be done. "Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding." Now, what does that tell you about whose business we're into right there? God's business. "Mighty ones who do His business, who obey His word," as God called us, the non-angels, to do what's right. "Praise the Lord, all of His heavenly host." Now, there's going to be some time where you're going to hear the angels numbered to some degree. And it's going to start off like thousands upon 10,000s. And it's just going to grow. How many angels do you think God has? Let me tell you another thing about angels. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? I know this. I'm going to die. My death will be dealt with God and the angels. What He chooses to do with it, I don't know. And I'm not going to make up anything. But I do know this. If the angels are among us, there's a reason they're here. And so when we come into an assembly like this, you're not alone here. You're not by yourself. You're not among just this amount of people. There are angels. Well, I didn't see the angel. Is it possible for God to have an angel that you can't see? Yeah. Psalm 103:20. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all of His heavenly host, you His servants who will do His will. Praise the Lord, all of His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What is the dominion of God? How much dominion does He have? Now, here is the angels involved in that. God has His helpers of some sort here with these angels. You will notice, too, if you pop out your book and sit down and read it, you'll be amazed at how many times the word angel comes up. I mean, it will be shockingly opening your eyes. These angels are everywhere, and they're everywhere on our side. Now, what I don't want you to do is go out and say, you know, well, I got me an angel. God's angels look after us. Can you embrace that? The best thing for us to do is just die. If we do that, we'll have been better indoctrinated with it and realize that, yes, it is so true. You're going to live forever if you stay in God's covenant. And the angels are there to help that happen, to bring that to us. Psalm 148, verses 2 and 3. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. See, here's another deal. I want you to listen to that. Praise Him, all His angels. Notice He didn't say some. You got that? He didn't say some. Praise Him, all His heavenly host. Now, who is that? You got angels? Praise them. All of you angels, praise Him. Right? Now, all the heavenly hosts. Who's that? God's got another run going. God has activity all over the universe. And He knows how to use it. The Old Testament presents the angels as genuine, personal beings who serve as messengers and ministers of God, doing just what God tells them to do and how He tells them to do it. As four gospel writers report the activity of angels, there are people who have dealt with that in the past. Matthew and Luke tell of a significant ministry of angels connected with the birth of Christ. Now, would you think there may be an angel hanging out around the birth of Christ of all people? I'm going to tell you, that's a big fat book right here that I have read and many of you have read many times. But the words of the Messiah in that book are the strongest words that's ever come out. and it will continue to be so. The prediction was there, and the announcement was there. Matthew chapter 1, 20 to 23. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." And do you know, it was the angels who was making sure that everything was right on where it needed to be. In Matthew chapter 2, 13, when they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." You remember that? When Jesus was about to be born and Herod wanted him dead. Well, this is what the angel of the Lord told them to do. That's got to mean this. Angels must be able to communicate. Would you say yes on that? Luke chapter 2, 8-15. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified." "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Now, there's a little old angel come along, say, "Hey, everybody, everything's good. We're going to have us a king. King Jesus. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Well, we know about that little deal. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. Then we've got the heavenly host. These angels that we've been looking at, that's just a few. So they lift their eyes up toward heaven and you see the whole heavenly group of the angels. Now, all of that's fixing to come fit into Jesus Christ being born. When Jesus was born, there was threats for his life every day. They were trying to kill him if he was the Messiah. They didn't want anybody to be the Messiah except somebody they can buy. That sounds kind of like the way things are today, isn't it? They just buy you off. Just so we'll know, all four Gospels record the appearance of the angel at the empty tomb of Jesus. I have been in many, many, many graveyards. I told you before, 350, I quit counting. But I'd been part of the burial process for those many times. This one comes from above. If God chose, could God say to one of his angels, "I want you to go and bring that boy back to life"? Could God do that? Could he bring him back? This is the power of angels. This is Acts 5:19. One of the apostles was in prison. Do you remember that? Basically, you got to be a real good locksmith to get out of a prison. In Acts 5:19, an angel freed the apostles from prison. I mean, the angel marched right up there and opened the door himself. Acts 8:26, the angel directed Philip to his place of ministry. In Acts chapter 10, 1-7, he was a centurion in the Italian regiment He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those who were in need and prayed to God regularly. On one day in 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering to God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." Acts chapter 12, 5-11. The angel delivered Peter from the prison and got him out. Peter was kept in a prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Is it possible for somebody in a church like this, going through difficult, terrible situations, that God's angel could change that? I mean, we see it all through the scriptures. Did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those guys, did they die? Yeah. Is Alan going to die? All of us going to die, but it's not over, because there's still a huge amount of people that's still in the embrace of God, and it's going to continue to do that. That's going to be brought to you by the angels. And I think what we'll do is probably break right here. Do you see from the scriptures, this is not something that's being made up? This stuff has a long heritage. And we are in God's embrace, and God is on our side. And whatever we do, and wherever we go, and with whatever power we have, we need to know we're never, ever alone. Jesus Christ is on my side. He's on Al's side and everybody else's side that's in God's covenant. You believe that? There are angels in this room. Now, I don't see them, but I just got through looking at a whole bunch of them through this book. And you're not talking about 100 or 400. You're talking about millions. Ah, I love that. What kind of song you got for us there, brother song leader?